Good evening. Our scripture lesson is taken from Proverbs 25, 11 to 17. I was just thinking, you know, when we come out to worship, what do we look forward to the most? Do we look forward to talking to the brothers and sisters after the service? Do we put her all into the singing and the praying and hearing God's word? Do we pray for the minister that is going to expound upon the word? I thought of that when it comes to worship. I thought of that verse in Psalms 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." We could put the word worship there where it says bless, you know, worship his holy name. Do we put our all into that, you know, all that is within me? That's hard to comprehend. But we should be thankful for those that preach the word, and we're thankful for the word tonight. And let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Chapter 25 of Proverbs, starting at verse 11. I lost my thing.
Yep, you're right.
"A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee." Let's come before the Lord for a word of prayer.
Good evening. Greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you know, perhaps the hardest thing, at least for me, when given a speaking assignment, is to know what to talk about. Know what to talk about, to get a topic fixed in your mind. And as late as this afternoon, I was still struggling with that. And I remembered something a minister told me when I was put in the office. He said, "Preach what you have a burden for. Preach what you have a burden for." And I prayed to that end this afternoon. And with that being said, I'd like to tell you something that happened here this morning. We had arrived and were preparing for Sunday school, and Brother Duane came back, and somehow through the grapevine he had learned that my legs and hip have been hurting, and that's true. And he had asked about it, inquired about it. And I told him, yes, it had hurt and things like that, but it's not that bad. And he went back, and as we knelt for prayer, the Holy Spirit came, and he said, "Brian, you just told a man that would give anything to feel the legs, the pain that's in your legs, about your troubles of having pain in your legs. You know, as I sat and knelt there praying, there's so many lessons in just that one little thing that I could talk about this evening. And I'd like to talk about friendship. Friendship. You know, in Brother Duane coming back and asking me how my legs were feeling, it showed friendship. It shown love. And his ignoring my unsensitive, insensitive comments, showed love and friendship. And as I sat at my desk this afternoon, I thought, perhaps we should speak about friendship. You know, friendship messages are often directed towards young people. And it's true. Who we choose as our friends in our youth make a huge difference in our lives. But I tell you, the concept of friendship applies to each one here tonight, from the youngest to the oldest. What influences do your friends have on you? What influence do you have on your friends? Are you building them up or are you dragging them down? Are they building you up or are they dragging you down? Do you have good friends? Am I a good friend? As we look at friendship tonight, we'd like to look at the who, what, when, and how of friendship. Who should be our friend? We'd like to look at that topic a little bit. Who should be our friend? What are the characteristics of a true friend? What happens when we fail as a friend? Why do we need friends? And lastly, how to be a better friend? Who is or who should be our friend? As I thought about that this afternoon, it's not an easy thing to figure out who should be our friend. Who should we have as a friend? And it's something that I struggled with because it quickly turns into the question, as you think about it, should we be friends with non-believers? As you study that question, who should be my friend? The natural progression is, should I be friends with non-believers? And as I struggled with that question this afternoon, I think it depends on how you define the word friend. Scripture defines the word friend very broadly, as I looked at it this afternoon. In the broadest sense, it's a person that you're on good terms with. It's someone you know, someone you're associated with, someone you're acquainted with. Scripture talks about living peaceably with all men. Scripture talks about loving your neighbor, and it has a very broad sense. But it goes far in the other direction also. Scripture talks about a friend that you can share your longings with, a friend that you can be intimate with, a friend that you can share your desires with, your struggle, your conflict, a friend that you want to spend quality time with. And you see our friends in your life and my life fall in that spectrum somewhere, don't they? We have friends that we call friends that we know their name. But we have friends that we're intimate with. And we share our deepest desires. As we make decisions on who should be our friends, Scripture gives us very clear warnings who we should be intimate with. Who we should be close with. Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You see, Scripture warns against an intimacy, a friendship with sinful man. It warns about it in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffers. You see, it's a downward progression. The closer and the more intimate you get with sinful man, the potential is to drag you down. Our Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps, is the greatest example. We know it and see it very clearly in Scripture. That he ate with the publicans. He ate with the sinners. He said, that's who I came to call on. And he called them friend. But he had a few. He had a few close, a few intimate friends. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. His disciples, Jesus says, I have called you friends. I've called you friends. Yes, Jesus spent time with unbelievers. He was a great physician. That was the unbeliever is the reason that he came. But yet his most tender moments, the incidents we receive the greatest emotion, the times of refreshment, the teaching of doctrine and truth are usually found with believers, with his disciples, with an intimate few. So to answer the question, who should be our friends? I believe we're called to be friendly to all. We're to show everyone we meet friendship and be friendly to all. We're to love our enemies, love our neighbors. We're to be salt and light. But I also believe Scripture tells us that our most intimate relationships need to be reserved for believers. As we work and rub shoulders with many unbelievers in the workplace, we're to be friendly. We need to be friendly. They need to see the love of Jesus Christ in us. But we need to be very careful about spending quality time with them, extended vacations with them, socially spending a lot of time with them. We need to be very, very careful about it. Who should be our friends? Secondly, what are the characteristics of a friend? Turn to the scripture that was read by Brother Art in the opening, Proverbs 25, verse 11. What are the characteristics of a friend? Verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Characteristics of a true friend is that they speak truth to you. They speak truth to you. It's a word fitly spoken. They use their tongue to build you up. They use their tongue and their voice to build you up and not tear you down. They're an encouragement. Do you see the difference? Brother Duane came to encourage me. It was a word fitly spoken, and yet my response wasn't a word fitly spoken. One word said in anger. One word said without thinking can bring a lifetime of repercussions. Many families are torn apart by words that aren't fitly spoken. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt, no bitter taste. Whether through instruction or correction or advice or comfort, our words need to be seasoned with salt. We need to seek out friends that have words to us that are seasoned with salt. And it's so valuable. Scripture says it's apples of gold and pictures of silver. A true friend says the right word at the right time, and it's fitly spoken. What a challenge it should be for each one of us. Are we a true friend? Do our words build up? Do our words encourage? Do our words lift up those around us? Verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. A true friend is a wise reprover. What a challenge for us. Do you love your friend well enough? Do you love him enough to to take that step out and tell him when he's wrong. I would tell you it takes more love to approach a friend and tell him when he's wrong than it does to keep quiet. How do we correct? How do we reprove? How do we challenge? There's many ways to do that. We do it sometimes directly, forcibly. We do it firmly and clearly. Thou shalt not. And there's a time and a place in life for that, where you say, stop it. There's also many indirect ways, through positive reinforcement. And each of these ways has its place. And it's very valuable to know that there are many ways to reprove. We need to pray that we have the wisdom as good friends to know how to correct and how to guide. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. True friends must be able to encourage, must be able to exhort, must be able to correct and reprove wisely. You see how valuable it is. Scripture says it's like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. It's a challenge for us all. Do you love someone enough? Are you a good enough friend to correct them, to challenge them, to reprove them? Verse 15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. A true friend has patience and endurance, even when their friend makes a mistake, even when their friend says the wrong thing. They're willing to overlook it, let it roll off their back. They're willing to let it go. Sometimes I think, and we need to be willing to let things go. I had a call recently. Someone had taken offense at a word that they heard through the grapevine that someone said about them. And he asked for counsel, what he should do. I said, can you let it go? Can you let it go and have no bitterness in your heart? He said, yes, I can. And then I said, let it go. I think most of the time, if we can do it and not retain bitterness in our heart, we need to let it go. We need to have patience. We need to have endurance. We need to have forgiveness. Patience to let it go. Patience to have a soft tongue. Many other verses remind us of the characteristics of a true friend. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. These are the characteristics of a true friend. Number three, when we fail as friends. When we fail as friends. Look at verse 14 of our text of the evening. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Clouds and wind without rain. When we apply this to being a friend, or failing as a friend, you know, a cloud or a wind with a cloud or a wind without rain. We all, in summertime, when things are dry, we see the clouds build up in the west. They grow black, and we just hope we get a good shower. But oftentimes, we're disappointed. We get the clouds, we get the wind, but we don't get the rain. You see, that's a picture of when we fail as a friend. We say, I'm there for you. We tell our friends, anything you need, if you ever need me, I'll be there. But oh, so many times, we're like clouds and wind without rain. We boast of how good a friend we are, and yet we fail. We fail as a friend when we neglect the truth that we can do nothing without God. We can't be a friend without God and with Jesus Christ, without Jesus Christ in our heart. We talked about this morning in the Spirit's leading, verses 16 and 17. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. We fail as a friend when we're demanding. We demand our friend's time. This scripture warns of too much of a good thing. Too much of a good thing. It warns about visiting too long. It warns of staying too long and becoming wearisome. I don't know if you ever knew this about me, but during college, I made a pretty good living calling square dances. And I'm not promoting dancing, but I was a square dance caller in college. I learned a lot of that skill from Martha's father. Martha's father was champion square dance caller in the state of Maine. He was very good. He told me one thing that I'll never forget. And I think as a minister, as a Sunday school teacher, as a chorister, whatever it is, as a public speaker, as a square dance caller, he said, always leave them wanting more. He says, never dance them till they're tired. Never dance them till they're sick of it. Always quit. Always stop the evening. Always leave them wanting more. And perhaps that's true of friendship. When you leave your friends home, do you think they say, I wish they'd have stayed just a little bit longer? I was enjoying the fellowship. Or do you think, boy, I thought they'd never go home? Always leave them wanting more. Verse 20. We fail as a friend. And as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. You see, that's what I did. Sometimes we need to be very careful about our response to our friends. We need to be very careful. I share another failure that still haunts me. We had a council meeting here one evening, and we chose to release a member. And as I left here that one evening, I said to the member's mother, "How's your day going?" She turned to me and said, "How do you think it's going?" Do you see? How's your day going? It's just, I didn't mean anything by it, but it was so insensitive. That's what this is talking about. We have to be careful. We have to be aware of the hurts of our friends. Romans 12:15, perhaps is a challenging verse of Scripture. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's what a friend does. And to do that, you have to know when they're rejoicing. And you have to know what's tearing at their heart. We need to pray for the Spirit's wisdom to help us to be better friends, to help us to know what to say. Who should be our friends? What are the characteristics of friends? And when we fail as friends? Fourthly, why we have friends. Why do we have friends? As I think back over life, I think of many of my close friends over the years. It's natural that happens. They change. We have different friends at different times in our lives. When I was in college, I didn't know, when you went to school, they assigned you a roommate. And I had no idea who my roommate would be. And my mother and father had me so scared. I would be getting someone completely different than me. Someone from the inner city or something. By God's grace, He gave me a Christian man. And we roomed together for all 4 years of college. He was a great blessing to me. He was the best man at our wedding. He introduced me to a completely different side of Christianity that I was exposed to. He got me involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. Yet now, 35 years later, I don't know where he is. We haven't kept in touch. God's given me a completely new set of friends. Christian friends enter our lives and leave our lives. But you see, they're sent by God when we need them most. Oh, how I needed that support in college, the friendship of a Christian brother. At that vulnerable time in my life, God provided a friend. And today He provides other friends. Christian friends are God-given. Are God-given, and that truth presents us with certain challenges. Do we look at our lives and ourselves as being friends, as being sent from God for such a time as this? Do you look at yourself that way, touching people's lives as an emissary of God? Do we look at our own friends? Are we thankful for them as God-given? Do we look at them as being sent from God for this time and this place to build us up in the faith? Why do we have friends? Verse 13 of our text. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. You see, that's why we have friends. They're faithful messengers from God for such a time as this. Turn to Ecclesiastes, just forward a few pages. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'd like to begin reading at verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's why we have friends. That's why we have friends. As a little case study tonight, I'd like to tell you about some friends that I've had over the years and the influence that they've had upon me. And I want you to evaluate the friendship in your mind. Was it valuable? Was it a good, was it a godly friendship? What could I have done differently? Friend number one, I worked with him for many years, and we rode back and forth to work together. He was a young man. He was my age. I was younger then. This was 30 years ago. He was a young man about my age, and I thought I'd be friendly to him. And I left him listening to the radio on the way to work. I left him pick the station. He was my guest. We were traveling in my vehicle. The stations that he chose were rock and roll radio stations. Sometimes it was some talk radio. And over time, this went on day after day and year after year. And over time, what I listened to began to have an effect on me. I began to laugh at the jokes they told. Thoughts entered my mind that should not be there. Our discussions on our way to work centered around these songs in this talk radio program, and they were not God glorifying. And I was on the downward spiral. But God intervened, and our work hours changed. We could no longer ride together. And as I look back on that some 30-odd years ago, I wonder where I'd be if God hadn't intervened. You see, it started out as a friendly gesture, but it quickly spiraled into a spiritual problem. From what we talked about tonight, do you think that was a good idea to have a friendship with this man? Did I do right? What should I have done differently? Maybe you have a friend like that now that's not building you up, that's dragging you down. Friend number two, we have a neighbor. He's dead now. He was a kind of neighbor everyone wanted and needed. He was there for you. He was an old-time neighbor. Years ago, how we shared work. He was like that still. If you needed help on your farm, he would come. If he needed help on his farm, we would go. If we had sick animals, he was the first one we called. He was there to help with field work. He was there to help at butchering time. If I called him, he was there. But he wasn't a Christian. How I hope that before he died a Christian, I don't know. But much of his life, he was not a Christian. And he wanted me one evening, Martha and I, to go with him to the New Oxford Social Club. It's a restaurant, I think, but it's more of a barroom setting. We didn't go. What do you think of a friendship like that? Where do you draw the line? What's right? What's wrong? How do we limit our time socially with unbelievers? These are questions you need to answer for yourself, because we have friends like this. We have friends that'll invite you places probably we shouldn't go. We have friends that'll ask you to do things we shouldn't do. Friend number three. He was a co-worker of mine for many years, a Christian man, knowledgeable. He's a man I could go with and still do with questions. We had a close relationship. We have a close relationship. I share my struggles and he shares his. He's a man of prayer. I know he prays for me and my family. We both have struggles. We have both at times failed God, yet we struggle along together. What do you think of a friend like that? Do you have many of those? I pray that you have them in your life. That's the kind of friend we need. Friend number four. This neighbor too is dead now, and I miss him. He was a conservative Christian man. We often spent many times visiting together. We'd discuss farming and gardening and the weather. But our conversation always, always turned to spiritual things. And we spent many hours discussing them. He was a strong man. He was an opinionated man. He knew what he believed and why. And he had a great influence on my life. He was a man that would challenge me. I know I told the story often here. He was the one that, as I struggled with truth about divorce and remarriage, he's the one that told me, "Brian, it's not what you think, it's what the Bible says." And how I needed to hear those words from a faithful friend. He was willing to reprove me. He was willing to challenge me. What about your spectrum of friends? Perhaps you have just as the friends I described to you. We looked at who should be our friends. What are the characteristics of a true friend? When we fail as friends, and why we have friends. Lastly, for just a few minutes, I'd like to look at how we can be better friends. How can we be a better friend? And I think the one clear way that stands out, if you want to be a better friend, get your act together with Jesus Christ. The closer you are to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the better friend you'll be. Get right, get your life right first. Get your life pointed on the right direction. And you can be a friend to others. So you see, you have to be fit. Do you remember that man I told you about that rode together with me to work for many years? There was a time in his life, a number of years after this, when a young woman he knew, a neighbor, died, leaving three children. And he wondered why. He wondered why. You see, when these times in life come, when the really tough times hit, when non-believers face death and illness, when they seek truth, they look for a believer. When that woman died, leaving three children, he didn't go to his drinking buddies and ask why. He didn't go to the men he went fishing with and hunting with and ask why. He didn't go to the men that he went to sporting events with and ask why. He asked a man that he perceived to be a Christian. If you're going to be a friend, if you're going to be there when someone needs you, the best way to do that is to be close to Jesus Christ, that his love and his light shines through you, that people can be drawn to you and you're able to testify to the goodness of God. If you desire to be a better friend, it begins with you submitting your will and your life to Jesus Christ and allowing the Spirit's control. That's where it needs to begin. That when your friend needs you, when your neighbor needs you, they know where to turn. How can you be a better friend? Pray that you would have sacrificial love for others. If you're going to be a true friend, you have to be willing to give of yourself. There's no other way. And the most example that quickly jumps to mind is the account of Jonathan and David, doesn't it? Jonathan was willing to give up everything for his friend David. All he experienced, all he expected out of life, everything he wanted, he was willing to give it up. That's what love is. If you're going to be a better friend, you have to be willing to give of yourself. If you're going to be a better friend, number three, you have to be willing to share. Share of yourself, share of your resources, share of your money, share of your wealth, but most importantly, share of your time. You will get a call to come for some reason, and it's not going to be convenient. I promise you. You will get a call. There's many in this room tonight that I've called at inconvenient times, and they dropped what they were doing and came. You have to be willing to share with your friends if you want to be a friend. And lastly, to be a better friend, I think we need to pray for each other. That was impressed on me recently. Oh, well, this last Wednesday night at prayer meeting. I know small group prayer meeting is uncomfortable for some. I understand that. It is for me in a way also. Because in that setting, you're often more vulnerable. And for it to be of great value, you have to be. You have to be willing to share your struggles. But each time I participate in it, and I hear people, members of the congregation that I don't normally spend time with, I'm not close with, share their hearts and their struggles, draws you closer together. There was a young brother there Wednesday evening. that I don't spend any time with to speak of. I don't know that he's ever been in our home. I'm not close to him. And as he shared his struggles and his family's desire, we were drawn closer together. And you know, he hasn't been out of my prayers since then. If you're going to be a friend to someone, you need to be willing to pray for them. And to pray for them, it's helpful to know their struggles. It's helpful to know their needs. Would you be a better friend? Work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Work on sacrificial love. Work at sharing and be willing to share with your friends of your time and resources, your money and your wealth, and hold them up in prayer. In these ways, you can be a better friend. May God bless you.
I don't know if you're like me, but I believe you are, you wouldn't be here tonight. But through the week, you know, I look forward to the Lord's Day. It's a precious day for me. I love to fellowship with others. If you're like that, put your hand up. Do you look forward to the Lord's Day? And I'm never disappointed. Are you? The Lord doesn't disappoint. This morning we were reminded about the presence of God with us all the time. Many times I think we forget. Did you ever have something incident in your life? Maybe it wasn't so nice, but afterwards, you looked back, thought about it, God was with me. And I thought of, Ray mentioned the man on the way to Emmaus. It was Emmaus, wasn't it? When Jesus appeared to them. And afterwards, after he made himself known and disappeared, they said, our hearts burned within it. Didn't our hearts burn within us? Well, I think maybe that's the way we are sometimes. But we need to remember that God's presence is with us always. And I guess it's, maybe that gets, when, as you grow older, maybe you think of it more. But I think of that a lot. That he's with me. He's in me. Tonight we heard about being friends. I like that one verse you mentioned, and I thought I had it back here, in Proverbs 20:18, Proverbs 18, verse 24. Brother Brian mentioned this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. I was reminded of many things while Brian was preaching tonight. I had to think back. This goes back to the year 1978. My mother was, and many of you who remember her older, remember my mother was bedfast for several years. My brother was killed in a truck accident in 78. One Sunday morning here at church, a brother came to me, and he knew all about that, and he took his arms around me and to comfort me. That's a brother. That's a friend. So I'm thankful for the messages we heard today, this morning, and this evening. Thank you, Brian. And I want to give thanks again for everything. Let's stand for prayer.